plan during 2014 to have 5 stores in Bogota and at least 51 stores in 5 years. Moving on, let's talk about Tres Montes Zuccheti, and I'd like to begin by giving credit to the company of Tres Montes Zuccheti and its directors, as well as the directors of the Grupo Nutresa, because we can't simply, after having such a large, significant, and complex operation, we cannot leave aside and acknowledge that this was like a Swiss clock. And this is thanks to a company that has a very organized IT system like Tres Montes Zuccheti. All of the teams found the information complete, proper, timely, and we could close a transaction according to the standards, stringent standards that we had set forth. This transaction was quite quick and, as again, impeccable. There you can see the final amounts of the transaction, and here you can see an enterprise value of $739.3 million negotiated after the adjustments for the debt, working capital, et cetera. The final value was $588.3 million. We carried out the payment basically with Colombian bank loans under conditions, which we will see ahead of a rate and debt service and in very competitive terms, which provide us a financial structure that's very optimized. The consolidated results are started on September 1st, and the management team ratified in its positions. Excellent work. As to sales of Tres Montes Zuccheti, these dropped 5.7%, and the EBITDA margin was 12.9% over sales. This may look quite below what you could believe was the expectation, but the truth is that we already discounted it in our business plan. Development close to this. So for us, there is no surprise. Although we do expect improvements, and these are being shown in October in sales and EBITDA for year end, it is evident that the region has some markets that are a bit slower. And when it comes to Tres Montes Zuccheti, the markets that created a good performance were first Venezuela, where Zuccheti operates, and in this period had no sales registered and therefore has an impact on sales growth. Mexico also was affected by all of you knew it's because of the rainfalls. And the expectation of growth was higher, but the government itself and the Central Bank of Mexico announced a reduction of expectation that was quite significant, so their growth was lower. Argentina also was affected, although in Tres Montes, look at these operations, there is a bit smaller, but their performance was lower, so that's why we have a reduction in sales. And with these sales levels, we had lower EBITDA levels. But again, this is not a surprise for us. We're not looking at things for the month, next month, or not even the next quarter. But the idea is to have a vision to build a great business. It's going to be a great year. We're going to have a better 2014. Now let's move on, please, to slide 4. And here you can see a pro forma in which we display which would have been sales of 2012 if we added Grupo Nutresa and Tres Montes Zuccheti. Here you can see sales by business unit, in which we can highlight that the size of the operation of Tres Montes Lucchetti would contribute 13% to Nutresa's sales. And this is equivalent to the business of coffee, which is 13% of Grupo Nutresa sales. So you can say that Tres Montes Lucchetti and coffee have the same level. Here you see the impact of this acquisition. In terms of EBITDA by business unit 2012, you can see that Tres Montes Lucchetti is about more, it's 14%. In terms of international sales by business unit, it represents 34% of total sales of Grupo Nutresa. It's 38%. So you can see here the increases contributed by Tres Montes Lucchetti to the group. In total sales, it would grow 15, a bit above 16%, and international sales growth is 52%. So here you can see the composition. Let's move on, please, to slide 5. Here you can see the print of Grupo Nutresa and the region, and also with a pro forma with figures adding at December 31st, 2012. Here you can see that Chile is the second market following Colombia for 10%, followed by Venezuela with the cold cuts operation we have there with 6.8%. Fourth place is USA. 6.6% of our sales, followed by Central America, 5.9%. Mexico gains share significantly within the group, 4.1%. And then we have Peru, 1.8%, et cetera. You can see on this slide the composition of our sales in our geography in the Americas. And here you can see that we have a great balance in our diversification in very desirable markets, where we have a great presence in Chile, plus Mexico and Central America and USA, Peru, markets with great performance within the current situation and very sound perspectives. Here you can see that international sales represent almost 38% of the group. Slide 6 shows you the source of synergies with Tres Montes Lucchetti. I know that analysts want Grupo Nutresa to provide figures to the synergies. However, the truth is that we don't, because of the following reason. Instead of setting forth figures and goals, we have many teams working in many synergies, which we have identified here, and the goal is to capture the most synergies. We're not going to settle with certain figures because some of these are hard to measure, but really our goal is to have the maximum synergies, and it's worth highlighting as well that most of these are commercial. As we've said many times before, we have more opportunities when we make acquisitions, when we have a plus sign than a minus sign, meaning the largest opportunities are in profitable growth, in commercial integrations, and to complement the businesses. And we also do not undermine the importance of the synergies or economies regarding expenditures and management, in which certainly there could be very important benefits that we want to capture the most at determined budgets. And undoubtedly, we see that the most synergies are on the commercial side. We've also mentioned early on, and we've been able to validate with our work teams in a very detailed manner, that Mexico has great complementary distribution channels. As we've said, Tres Montes Lucchetti has a great commercial force devoted to the traditional and modern channels. And this really shows a great distribution force that Nutresa Mexico has, more on the wholesaler side, and complements great with Tres Montes Zucchetti. Here we expect short, medium, and long-term synergies in the commercial, and especially in Mexico, there are short-term possibilities in distribution channels. Now we're in the cold season in which chocolates can complement the powdered soft drinks, and this complement of the seasonability of products is very valuable. And we've also identified recently the customers that each of the distribution channels have and how each customer will be complemented. And that will begin soon. And that will create sales. That is profitable growth. Also, we are seeing on a medium term how to explore the launching of new products in Mexico by both companies. The quickest thing to do has to do with bringing together the synergies of both companies. We found that in Central America, the distribution of commercial Pozuelo is very strong, and that will add our presence with Tres Montes Zucchetti in Mexico. So in Peru, where we have a strong distribution of CNCH Peru, this is larger than what we have with Tres Montes Zucchetti. And both in Central America and in Peru, that will provide us more coverage in the market, a better presence at our point of sales of Tres Montes Zucchetti. And once again, that represents more sales on a short-term basis and less distribution expenditures. When I talk about short-term, I refer to the end of this year and undoubtedly for next year, early next year. In terms of Colombia and Chile, on a midterm basis, we see an exchange of know-hows of Grupo Nutresa's strength in the traditional channel versus the know-how and modern channels of Tres Montes Zucchetti in the modern channel. And to reinforce what we do in both channels, we are all aware that the retail market is the most advanced in Chile when it comes to Latin America. And definitely I am aware that the advances made by Tres Montes Zucchetti in Chile will be great for the group in Colombia and other countries. We're also ongoingly working with regards to knowledge exchange and product development, especially in pasta coffee and milk modifiers. In others, we've got cross-fertilization of products. There are new geographies and customers where we have powdered soft drinks in the Caribbean, Africa, and Asia. And there we have identified great opportunities to launch our products of powdered soft drinks on a short-term basis. With our distributors are avid in those regions, so we are sure that good sales will be made. And also, I'd like to add that with the arrival of Grupo Nutresa to Tres Montes Zucchetti, this has opened the doors and beginning to know very dynamic categories like powdered soft drinks and snacks, which we would like to consolidate in our business and future acquisitions. With regards to the management synergies, we include the global supply program, and the idea is to expand it. Now we are creating great synergies, and we'll expand them to the purchases made by Tres Montes Zucchetti. This is also on a short-term basis, and the aspiration is to cover the most number of purchases and to create important economies. Also, we've got the best practices, especially the premium to optimize the depth structure. Let's move on, please, to slide 7. The accumulated sales per business unit at September. You can see Columbia is number one. We're growing at 2.9% in terms of tons, which is a healthy growth. And we're still recording a decrease of prices of 1.2%, but you've seen that gradually we've been increasing the prices and reducing somehow the prices that we made early in the year. And during this third quarter, the price variation now is positive. Here it's worth mentioning that our strategy undoubtedly has to do with winners in a setting that demands many things in Colombia. For instance, in March we had strikes, a slow commercial dynamics, and a tax reform and impacts on the VAT. It would not have been advisable to add to that setting price increases of our products. So what we did back then was the opposite. We reduced the prices because of the benefits we had because of the lower cost of commodities, and that really paid off. Now we see that as this price situation at least helped us not to hurt the market, and therefore we've been now been able to increase our prices with great results. Here also you can see, I'd like to mention, with regards to the strikes and the costs or lower sales that led because of the strikes, this is very difficult to measure. You understand that we serve 1,000 municipalities and we have many POS, so these were affected because of delays, because the products arrived late. It's very difficult. However, we estimate that the sales lost from August to September because of these strikes, because remember the strike was the last week of September and the rest of October, and this really takes the time, and we hope that at least the lower sales were of 13,000 million pesos, which is 5% of the sales per month, and almost 1.5% of accumulated sales. So also this has an effect on the cost. For you to have an idea, only in biscuits in the months we transport 1,000 trucks. So you must understand the surcharges because of the strike. So it's very difficult. Chocolates has about 500 trucks. Coffee, 400. So undoubtedly you can see that the strikes had a big event. In terms of international sales, you can see that the growth was 15.9% and organic growth was 6.8%. Looking at slide 8, let's look at total sales. Here you can see that organic sales in ice cream, you can see it grew 28.6, and also this is a very double-digit growth, which is great. You can see that 24.4% of the growth, and cold cuts, which grew 8.7%. If we remove Venezuela, organic grew 3.8%. Now let's move to the third quarter, slide 9. You can see that during this quarter, we had a 2.8 growth in Colombia, and it's almost 1% in terms of volume and prices. Here, if we remove the strike with a minimum of the 13,000 million pesos lost, but if we add those sales loss, the growth of the quarter would not have been 2.8, but at least 4.2. But as you can see, that growth has been growing gradually. Growth, the pace has been of sales has been better. And prices, we're basically look at cold cuts, biscuits, ice cream. As the market has been responding, we have made some price increases. So as I told you before, there's been a good time since we increased our price in cold cuts, but we have this increase, and now for some weeks, we have recorded an increase that the market has accepted well. In terms of the international sales, during the quarter have displayed a growth of 28.7%. Here you can see with Tres Montes Duques. And sales per business unit in slide 10, the growth is 12%, and sales and organic growth is 6.7%. Ice cream, looking at the effect of the POPS, grew organically only displayed 10.8%, which is, again, very good. Looking at sales by region in slide 11, you can see that the accumulated as September, we saw the Chile, we saw the pro forma. It's worth highlighting that the markets have good performance in the U.S., Central America, and Peru. And it's worth highlighting that in Mexico, chocolates are doing well. Now, quickly, let's look at slide 12. Here you can see the market share, and now you can see a picture of Tres Montes Duques. Its current share, you can see that they're significantly consolidated, especially in pasta, 17% in coffee in Chile and in Mexico, and when it comes to powdered soft drinks. And also, you can see gains in market share in cold cuts, 1.2%, in biscuits, 1%, in chocolate confectionery, more than 2%, in pasta. Gains are slight, and it's worth highlighting here that Grupo Nutresa has a market share at September 30th. Weighted in the categories in which we participate of 60.1%. This is the highest level that we recorded in the past 3 years, which evidences clearly our after the fierce competition in Colombia in the past 3 years, with the arrival of many competitors, as you all are aware of. You know what we're doing, how we've been defending ourselves. Now we can record after 3 years of opening the boundaries of the country and of having so many players, how we are again above 60% in our market share in all of the categories in which we participate. And this evidences of great commercial management and our especially in Colombia. Now let's move on to slide 13, and here you can see the trend, the progress made of this base 100 of Grupo Nutresa is at December 2012, and you can see that we're quite below now. What's behind this? Well, basically, when it comes to oils, sugar, and coffee, there's been a bit of a drop. Also, pork and cocoa, there's been a slight increase. And in terms of our provision, really, we've got stable prices in next month. And then now for 2014, we see that we will have an expectation of stability really in the near future. Slide 14 shows you the raw material diversification, and you can see how packaging material, now with Tres Montes Luquetting, is the number one raw material, which provides added value. It's 12%. Coffee, which was at abnormal levels, which was at 13%, now it's a bit below 10%. And you can see the others, which are very well diversified and show a stable outlook. Now let's listen to Mr. Jose Domingo, who will talk about the EBITDA and the financial results. Good morning to you all. Let's look at slide 15. Here we see a very good accumulated EBITDA of 14%, growing 17.8% compared to the same period the year before. You can see on this slide, all the businesses increase their profitability and their EBITDA margin except pasta, especially because of the higher cost of wheat. And the margin for this period then, you can see expenditures of the acquisition of Tres Montes Luquetting, in which this margin that we show of 14% accumulated would have been 14.1. And the other topic is the effect of the strikes, of the farmer strikes. As we mentioned, it's very difficult to quantify everything when it comes to costs and expenditures. There are very varied reasons because of the usage of warehouses, extra hours worked, but we do believe that in the accumulated, we have this 14%, which is good. So we believe that this EBITDA margin will not be dropping 14% by the end of this year. If we look at slide 16 of the quarter, here you can see that the growth is ongoing, reaching 9% with Tres Montes Luquetting, which in this period shows us an EBITDA margin of 12%. And we exclude the expenditures of the transaction of this 13.4 turns into 13.7%. And the effect is significant, so we can compare this more of 13.7%. And overall in businesses, we can talk about very good margins in terms of chocolates, coffee, and ice cream. And biscuits, because of the lower costs of fats, we also have very good margins. And in terms, general terms, really the ice cream business is showing a profitability level of 16%, which is higher than many others. Now if we look at slide 17, we have an accumulated at September 2013, and here we have, of course, the effect of the purchase of Tres Montes Luquetting, and you can see that without this acquisition, it would be 4.4% of our revenues. Another significant figure here in operating has to do with administrative expenses. Especially, we classified these expenses as in this concept. That's why we have 25%. But if we exclude this, the growth is 6%, which we deem is very healthy for the revenues of the group. When we look also at the operating income, we can look at financial expenditures or expenses and also the gains because of the foreign currency exposure when it comes to financing the transaction to dollars. Also, the cost of merchandise sold, which shows a 2.5 increase, without the transaction it would be 0.4. So it's worth seeing that really everything has to do with Pops and Tres Montes Luquetting. Now let's move to slide 18. This is a consolidated income statement. And here you can see the difference between the before the acquisitions and the organic. So we see a growth of operating revenues of 12%, and these figures of administrative expenses and sales expenses would be really 13.2 and 7.7 organic. So we show a growth of net revenue of 12% and 13%. And here you can see also the effect of the administration expenses. When it comes to slide 19, you can see here the consolidated net debt. Grupo Nutresa has reached now 6 million pesos, especially because of the transaction with Tres Montes Lucchetti. Before it, it was 238 million pesos. And although it's true that the indicator of the debt, net debt at September is only of 1 month with Tres Montes Lucchetti, you can see that with the pro forma in 12 months, and the net debt is 1.96. That's the indicator that we mentioned before, which was determined after the transaction. And this gives us an EBITDA pro forma, which is quite enough for midterm projects. And lastly, in slide 20, you can see the debt breakdown according to the expenses and in revenues of the company. By currency, in Colombian pesos, we have 12. They have 79.3%, Colombia in Chilean pesos, 12.6%. And we can say dollars is 3.3%. We think it's very healthy with regards to the income and expenses of the group. When it comes to reference rates, in general terms, you can see that half is between the IBR and the IPC of Colombia of 24.6%, and then you can see the Chile rates, the nominal and tabUF. In fixed rates, it's 7.8%. And so this composition and indexation, you can see that this goes hand in hand with the cash flows of the group on a long-term basis. And close to half, 51.3% on a long-term basis, midterm 31%, and short-term is 17.7%. This is adapted to the cash flows of the company in the future and the financing we achieved for this. We even arrived mostly to finance on a 10-year basis, and basically it's at 5 years, and the average total cost of 6.4% is capital markets cost, which adapts very well to the needs of the group when it comes to financing. Okay, with this, we conclude the presentation of the CEO of and CFO of Grupo Nutresa. So let's begin the Q&A session. For this section, I do ask those that are connected to this conference to dial to or press star followed by one so that we can start with question. And those that are on the webcast, please address your questions, and with pleasure, we can serve them. We'd also like to ask the analysts and those that are connected to only ask one question so that we can give more time to the others. Thank you. Now let's begin the Q&A session. If you have a question, please press star followed by number one on your phone. If you would like to remove your question, just press the number. If you are using a telephone with a speaker, please use the mute. Remember, again, please press star followed by number one. Here we have another question. Good morning to all of you, and thank you for your presentation. Great results. I have two questions for you. First, have you been able to quantify in this, with the Starbucks business, what's the impact on the revenues of the coffee business unit? What expectations can you give us? Could you give us guidance, the commitments with this business with Starbucks so that we can determine the impact on the valuation? Second, you already mentioned that in October, the performance of Tres Montes Zucchetti, which has accumulated this year, dropped 5% because of Venezuela and Mexico. You had it a better bit, but you had a recovery. Could you please give us an idea what's the performance and what we can expect in the fourth quarter of this year? Thank you. Thank you for your questions. Let's talk first about Starbucks. The impact on the coffee business unit in terms of sales in the first year in 2014 truly will be very marginal. In the forecast, we have assigned to it minimum values, understanding that there are 5 stores that will be consuming coffee. So these values are not in millions of dollars. So this is just the beginning. And we'll acquire more margins in time. So the impact on sales in the first month, because of the sales in the stores is very small, to say the truth. But it's worth mentioning that with Starbucks, we do have significant sales volumes because of the coffee that's being provided. This will be consolidated, and it will give us important sales volumes. But incrementally, because of the opening of these 5 stores in the year 2014, really the sales volumes will have marginal impacts. The volumes will be modest. It's more in the future. And with regards to Tres Montes Zucchetti, as I said before, after that reduction of 5.7 at September accumulated in lower sales, in October now, it displayed, and there we have the data, better sales volumes. We've seen this in Chile, in Colombia, and also in several countries in the region. And we expect to have a better year end. To give you some guidance and expectations, our aspiration is that that negative figure will drop to the point that the sales by the year end will be similar to those it showed in 2012. Thank you. Thank you. We have Alex in the line. Thank you. Good morning. I'd also like to ask you questions about Tres Montes Zucchetti. I see that what's key here in its category has to do with powdered soft drinks. Could you please tell us about your growth perspective with this category of powdered soft drinks, and how do you see this within this category? Do you think by 2014 to have a top market share or maximum growth at margins? It would also be interesting to understand, when you talk about premiumization, is this also applicable to the powdered soft drinks? And lastly, thank you so much of the information you provided about Tres Montes Zucchetti. Do you think that in the fourth quarter we can see better margins, really? Thank you. Thank you for your question, sir. Allow me to expand. Indeed, the category of powdered soft drinks of Tres Montes Chocolate is quite significant regarding market share and sales, and it's dynamic. The growth in the year 2013 is still positive. When we say that the sales at Tres Montes Chocolate dropped 5.7%, we said that it was because there are some markets that were affected, Venezuela, we talked about Mexico, and marginally Argentina, within a region that was slow per se. But we see that Chile is going well, it's growing well, it's a profitable category. And I already mentioned that by market, these are the ones affected by categories. Powdered soft drinks have grown. Perhaps the growth in Chile, we must mention, has oils, which is a commodity item, yes. It's not a big priority for the company, and that's one of the categories that dropped the rates in Chile. But powdered soft drinks are still growing in Chile. Snacks are also growing a lot in Chile. And there we see great opportunities with Tres Montes Chocolate. In terms of the strategy, you were asking what's our provision in the future. The idea is to maintain a strategy that Tres Montes Chocolate has handled so well, keeping margins that are attractive, responsibly handling the prices, showing growth in sales and volumes and in prices. So really the strategy remains identical. We're not going to increase prices or drop them just because. We've really been handling everything according to the strategy, and we're going to keep it the same. Our team is really having a slow setting, but you can say that the sales and the EBITDA margins with powdered soft drinks is quite healthy. And to answer your last questions, by the end of the year, we will have a complete quarter for Tres Montes Chocolate, and surely we will be providing more information about the company. It's understandable that it's only been with us for a month, and it's integrating to the consolidation of our accounting system. And surely in the annual report, we'll have more information about it. Thank you. Thank you. We have Zuleta, please go ahead with your question. Thank you. Two questions. One, the situation of taxes in Mexico. What products do you think will hurt you, and what's the magnitude? And second, it's a comment regarding the gross margin. I know it's difficult to quantify which was the reduction in the gross margin because of the raw materials. Is it because of competition that you reduce price, or is it because really of the strikes? Thank you. Well, with regards to the tax reform in Mexico, which already passed through the chamber and the Senate, it's something that we could expect in the food industry of the region. Mexico is the first country that has problems with child obesity. It's second with obesity in general. So part of the agreements made with Mexico and the tax reform, in which you expect to increase collections, and also we have tariffs that are targeting food, snacks. It's logical we were very present with regards to the reform process. And also we talked with health officers, and indeed there were some taxes that were approved that will affect us in two categories. One, chocolates, and the other, the powdered soft drinks. And in general, in the future, any other products that will have a calorie contribution. With regards to chocolates, the tax that was approved was an increase of the VAT of 8%, and before we didn't have VAT. So this shows an increase of the chocolates of that 8%. Our margins and what we've seen in the marketplace, it's a bit early to say, but we can expect that the producers will transfer the entire 8% VAT to the consumers. And when it comes to powdered soft drinks, we had a tax volume, which had to do with carbonate beverages, which were identified because of the obesity problem. So there we have the tax also on the powdered soft drinks. Still, of course, it's hard to estimate what's the impact. Again, surely we will transfer entirely this effect of the higher costs because of the taxes on the consumer. This is really slow, but we believe that this will have a general effect on the food categories, and we must see what will happen with the different categories and what will happen ahead, especially with regards to the pockets of the consumers. It's quite premature to give it figures, numbers. And as to the gross margin, this I would answer first-handedly that there are effects undoubtedly because of the strikes. If the sales affected us 1.5% in the quarter, and of course we'll have less sales and volumes, and of course this will have effects on the lower sales. But really it's very hard to quantify, as Jose Domingo said before, which are the overcosts in transportation, storage, and working additional hours. But undoubtedly, in gross margin, there is an effect because of the strikes and also because of price reduction. And for instance, with coffee, we had price reductions in the quarter. There are no specific conditions with regards to competitors. We're not feeling new pressures from them or higher pressures in terms of a price. Coffee is basically because of transferring our lower costs to the prices of the consumers, and we've had very good profitability levels in coffee. So I really would say that those are the impacts that can be related to gross margin. So can we move on to the next question. Thank you. Here we have Sebastian Gallego. Please go ahead with your question. Good morning. Thank you for the presentation. Two questions. Please confirm if you officially have launched a new mega in financial terms after acquiring Tres Montes Lucchetti, because I don't know. And secondly, could you please give us more information about the biscuits business? We saw in the quarter it dropped almost 7% in sales volume compared to the significant price increase. Could you please tell us about biscuits, how you see this business? Because the volumes here, knowing that Nutresa has very significant brands with biscuits in the market. Thank you for your question. First of all, the new mega. Yes, it's being revised right now, and we will be announcing the new mega, we believe, in a month. since we acquired Desmontes Duquette, we have identified that the mega that we have today, which had a goal to triple our sales by 2015, remaining with an EBITDA of 12 to 14%, will be surpassed by 2014. We will be reaching that goal by that year. And also what we obtained from 2005 to 2010 was obtained by 2009. So we will be reaching our current mega beforehand. We are revising it right now. Right now with Grupo Nutrosa, within its strategies for our first century, which you all know of, and we will be establishing a new mega in sales and profitability by 2020. That will be announced soon, as I told you. It's being revised right now, and it will be announced or presented to our board of directors in the month of November. As to the biscuits, what you mentioned, I'd like to say first that the category that's hurt the most because of the strikes was biscuits. I mentioned that the business of biscuits moves about 1,000 trucks a month. So if you look at the ratio volume price of a biscuit, the volume is very high. So having to move 1,000 trucks for the sales of biscuits alone compared to 500 for coffee and other business units, you can see that the hit was larger for biscuits, also because of the availability of warehouses and even of services and chains. The volumes of biscuits are very large, and that led to hurt the most biscuits. However, likewise, in the month of October, we've seen a very dynamic repositioning of biscuits in the market. I'd say that there was no effect on biscuits because of competition during this period, and especially it has to do with the strikes, which, as I told you, really hurt a lot this category. And also the market share. When it comes to market share, we gained a place. We moved up to 4.7%. And really there is no really effect on biscuits on the marketplace. And now the sales for Christmas represent for biscuits, the sale, it's like a month 13, and because of the Christmas holidays, so biscuits sell very well during that month, and these are recorded since the end of September, and you can see good dynamics, but from the end of September throughout October, the orders are at great levels, and the sales are doing well during this period. So I say that biscuits had to do with a particular moment, the period, and I think it's reasonable, and its profitability levels were quite positive. Thank you for your question. Next, move on to the next question. Thank you. We have Nicolas on the line. Please go ahead. Good morning, and thank you for your presentation. My first question is related to the capital fund that you had before and that you quantified before with regards to the innovations of the company. What have you been doing to improve innovations? And my other question is, could you please give us some guidance of what's going to happen in the fourth quarter? especially in December, and what are the increases that you see in the volume sold in the Colombian market? Basically, are my questions. Thank you. Thank you. With regards to innovation, we mentioned that the contributions to sales of new products are very important in the period, more than 20%. And beginning with the construction, with the results, we're very happy. Everything has to do with innovation with regards to volumes and profitability levels. Here we must highlight two programs, two new programs that are doing very well. For some time, we've had the Magix model in operation with innovative success, which has been in operation for over 10 years. But also, we have Innovative Solutions, which was a program launched a year ago. This program has to do with open innovations, in which we invite or launch challenges, and we invite people to help us outside of the board of the walls of this company. I remember it was even outside of each business unit, so we received solutions to the challenges from researchers, well-known from certain R&D centers, pensioned people, retired people, which have been giving us good results, especially in terms of the innovation. More than incremental, it's substantial, which solves problems that have been appearing way back. And those external contributions have been very positive. And we have another program that's called the Radical Innovation, which was launched several months ago. It has to do with risk capital fund within the group. The first contribution was made of 10,000 million pesos to support our projects. That's about $5 million. And we've been making assessment meetings to select the best proposals. We're overwhelmed, really, with the reception of this program. We had 52 proposals at Grupo Rutresa, and that's really something surprising because we're talking about choosing two projects. I correct. I said it was 10,000 million pesos for the fund. No, it's 15,000 million pesos, which is about $8 million. So really, innovation, incremental and substantial, are programs that are being very interesting for us, and the sale of new products are going very well. And with regards to the expectation of the demand by year end, we can say that our expectation is to have a gradual increase that we've seen month by month in this year. Let's remember that the year began very slowly. The first quarter had a reduction of its figures, of its values, minus 1.1. Then it grew 3.5%. And if we look at the direct effect of the strikes, of the farmer strikes, we expect that there is some growth in sales in the last quarter of the year. The sales for Christmas will be key. It's still difficult to foresee, but based on the orders that we're receiving in October, we're seeing positive results, so the dynamics are positive. So our expectation is to see improved figures in the last quarter of the year. Thank you very much. I think we have time for one last question. Yes, I'd like to comment. Let's have a last question. But still, remember, you can send us emails. You can see on the last slide our contact information. And there you can answer the last questions. So let's have our last question, please. And this way we end this teleconference. Right now we have no further people who would like to ask a question. So we end our teleconference. Thank you so much for being with us, for accepting this invitation. And we have the best expectations. We're committed and working to be able to have a good 2013 and to have an even better 2014. Thank you. And we'll see you again. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This ends the teleconference of today. Thank you for your participation. Now you can disconnect. Have a nice day.